Now all the suitors, trading their snide glances, started heckling Telemachus, made a mockery of his guests. One or another brash young gallant scoffed, "Telemachus, no one's more unlucky with his guests. Look what your man dragged in, this mangy tramp, scraping for bread and wine. Not fit for good hard work, the bag of bones. A useless dead weight on the land. And then this charlatan up and apes the prophet. Take it from me, you'll be better off by far. Toss your friends in a slave ship. Pack them off to Sicily fast. They'll fetch you one sweet price." So they jeered, but the prince paid no attention. Silent, eyes riveted on his father, always waiting the moment he'd lay hands on that outrageous mob. And all the while, Icarius's daughter, wise Penelope, had placed her carved chair within earshot at the door, so she could catch each word they uttered in the hall. Laughing rowdily, men prepared their noonday meal, succulent, rich, they'd butchered quite a herd. But as for supper, what could be less enticing than what a goddess and a powerful man would spread before them soon? A groaning feast, for they'd been first to plot their vicious crime. Book 21. Odysseus Strings His Bow. The time had come. The goddess Athena, with her blazing eyes, inspired Penelope, Icarius's daughter, wary, poised, to set the bow and the gleaming iron axes out before her suitors waiting in Odysseus's hall, to test their skill and bring their slaughter on. Up the steep stairs to her room she climbed, and grasped in a steady hand the curved key, fine bronze with ivory haft attached, and then with her chamber women made her way to a hidden storeroom far in the palace depths, and there they lay, the royal master's treasures, bronze, gold, and a wealth of hard-wrought iron, and there it lay as well, his back-sprung bow, with its quiver bristling arrows, shafts of pain. Gifts from the old days, from a friend he'd met in Lacedaemon, Iphitus, Eurytus's gallant son. Once in Messene the two struck up together in sly Autolycus's house. That time Odysseus went to collect a debt the whole realm owed him, for Messenian raiders had lifted flocks from Ithaca, 300 head in their oar-swept ships, the herdsmen too. So his father and island elders sent Odysseus off, a young boy on a mission. A distant embassy made to right that wrong. Iphitus went there, hunting the stock that he had lost. A dozen mares still nursing their hardy, suckling mules, the same mares that would prove his certain death when he reached the son of Zeus, that iron heart Heracles, the past master of monstrous works, who killed the man, a guest in his own house. Brutal. Not a care for the wrathful eyes of God or rites of hospitality he had spread before him. No, he dined him, then he murdered him, commandeered those hard-hoofed mares for the hero's own grange. Still on the trail of these, when he met Odysseus, Iphitus gave him the bow his father, mighty Eurytus, used to wield as a young man, but when he died in his lofty house, he left it to his son. In turn, Odysseus gave his friend a sharp sword, and a rugged spear to mark the start of friendship, treasured ties that bind. But before they got to know the warmth of each other's board, the son of Zeus had murdered Iphitus, Eurytus's magnificent son, who gave the prince the bow. That great weapon, King Odysseus never took it abroad with him when he sailed off to war in his long black ships. He kept it stored away in his stately house, guarding the memory of a cherished friend, and only took that bow on hunts at home. Now the lustrous queen soon reached the hidden vault and stopped at the oaken doorsill, work an expert sanded smooth and true to the line some years ago, planting the door jamb snugly, hanging shining doors. At once she loosed the thong from around its hook, inserted the key, and aiming straight and true, shot back the bolts, and the rasping doors groaned as loud as a bull will bellow, champing grass at pasture. So as the key went home, those handsome double doors rang out now and sprang wide before her. She stepped onto a plank where chests stood tall, brimming with clothing, scented sweet with cedar. reaching, tiptoe, lifting the bow down off its peg, still secure in the burnished case that held it. Down she sank, laying the case across her knees, and dissolved in tears with a high, thin wail as she drew her husband.